Now, for those who are keeping score here, you probably notice that, hey, wait a minute, where's the scripture slide, right? Look in your bulletins. You guys have this cool little insert thing going on. You can follow along. We're gonna review some scripture here, and then we're going to get into Holy Communion. And you've already got the scripture there, so I'm not even going to give you the references. We'll just go right through it. We're starting off with Matthew 6. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, as you heard on this song. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ who forgave you. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And actually, to put that in the biblical representation, essentially it's infinity, all right? Forever, always. Matthew 5, therefore, if you are offering a gift at the altar, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So God wants to have us, he doesn't want to be carrying any burdens. We need to forgive. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. See, Stephen had forgiven, right? He forgave them before he moved into glory. And when they came to a place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the other criminals, one on his right and another on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
The question posed to me, and I thought it was a very good question, was, does God forgive our anger at those who hurt us, physically or emotionally? It's hard to forgive those who enjoy hurting others, or us for that matter. Kind of a question and a thought, two similar things, and I told somebody this morning it's going to be the shortest message you ever heard because the answer is yes. But there's some things that go with that that sometimes I'm afraid that we might overlook. And as I put out this week at Ross, and I mentioned the question before the question, and Emily says, can you clarify that? And I said, well, there's always some question that's posed. But there's a question that comes that creates that question. Something that prompted that thought. And so I think what deals with that whole question is, can God forgive or does God forgive? The answer is yes, he does forgive. But there's a condition. You have to ask. I am not one that believes that everybody's going to heaven. No matter who you are, no matter how you live your life, I don't believe that's going to happen. Because if that was the case, Jesus would have never had to come to earth. We would have never had to do what we just did because his body would have never been broken. So we all deal with that. And so the thing that I looked, when I was looking at this whole idea of that question, was anger. Are we angry with people that harm us? Does that bother us? Is there something down deep in us that is unresolved? Some type of hostility, maybe some type of indignation, maybe some type of wrath, the idea we want to get back at somebody. And the person that posed that question, if I recognized that writing, was no. Very forgiving person. But anger is a reaction to someone or to something that has hurt us, to bother us, to get to us. And so the question is anger always sin? And the answer to that question is no. God got angry at sin. God got angry at injustice. He got angry at bitterness. He got angry at rebellion. He got angry at a lot of things. And so anger does serve a useful purpose. And it's not necessarily a sin. It's not necessarily wrong. It's going to give us adverse feelings, and we're going to feel, no matter what it is, somebody harms us, we're going to feel ill will toward them. Because we're human. And as we share this, and as we welcome people on Facebook about this whole subject of anger, it's something that affects nations. It affects one political side versus the other political side. It sometimes affects churches. Sometimes affects denominations. Sometimes affects a lot of different things. But we must guard against allowing anger to rule us and to drag us into sin. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and we'll be sharing about it, this fourth chapter of Ephesians, a little later on in the series, but he wrote in chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, when you're angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, this is from the Amplified, your exasperation, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. In other words, don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him any room, because it doesn't take anything but a crack in the door for him to come in. Don't give him an opportunity. Refuse to give the devil any opportunity to get a foothold in your life through anger. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. It upsets us. Sometimes it makes us mad. But if we keep it locked inside, all it does is fester. And at some point, we're going to blow up. Maybe at the person that pulls out in front of us and going down the highway, or going, somebody pulls out in front of us. We all have it. Somebody passes you to take the next exit. That happens all the time. So we have to take an opportunity when we have anger to learn how to deal with it. What do we do with it? How do we control it? What do we do to overcome it? And so there's three or four things. One thing is we need to process it. What caused this? What caused it is because we are human beings and we are not perfect. That's what caused it. As much as we would like to think that we are, as much as the world would like to think that everybody walks through that door is perfect. But the first one that walked in here this morning is not perfect. That was me. I admit it. And I got a couple instances this week that I could have gotten angry. My least favorite store in the world to go into is, I probably said it before, is Walmart. I dread Walmart. But unfortunately, and for you Walmart shoppers, don't hold that against me, because I don't hold it against you. But I went in to buy tennis balls, and I went in to buy a mat for our trailer. And I knew they had it because I bought one 5 or 6 years ago. And so I pick up 30 tennis balls. And I got them to put on the bottoms of some chair legs that sat on the ground. And this boy in front of me and this lady that's, you know, going through the line, he picks up something. He reads the front of it, He turns it over, and I'm sure he's reading the microwave instructions on the back of it. And then he's reading how to cook it on a, you know, on the stovetop. And he finally scans it and puts it over there, and he picks up the next item. It says flammable. And he's probably reading, do not use around fire. And so he finally gets done with her in about 20 minutes. And I'm next. What are you using these tennis balls for? And I resisted saying to throw them at slow cashiers. I really did. But I made my mind up I was not going to get angry over it. And then Kroger. Express lane. 15 items or less. Here's a lady with a rounded basket full of groceries and the 15 items or less. Can't you read? I'm thinking, good grief, Larry, how'd you get in this line? And I looked down there, and the line that I went through that had one card in it, it's now a whole row of them because it's not 4:30, so Kroger doesn't have more than two cashiers. It's like, I thought, you know, I can get upset, I can get frustrated, and I can be miserable. And I made my mind up. Speedy Gonzalez and the woman that couldn't count was not going to steal my joy. And so I thought about the tennis ball issue, and I thought, that's pretty funny. I'm going to use that. Does God care about us being angry? Does God care about people hurting us? And the answer to that question is yes. He cares deeply, and it hurts him deeply when people hurt his children. Just like it hurts you when somebody says something about your children. Unless it's you. And unless it's justified if you say it. But we're very protective. God's very protective of his children. But he's willing to forgive bad behavior. He's willing to forget all of that if someone will say, Father, forgive me. And that's all he wants from us. It's not up to us to make people pay. It didn't say, vengeance is Larry's, said the Lord. But it said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And as much as we would like to get to them and get our hands around their neck and drop them out that third floor window, like happened in Paul's day, we can't do that. The other thought I thought was that we can't get angry if Paul speaks all night. How would that go over today? It wouldn't. So, in order to get rid of the anger, and if we want to live, we have to forgive it, as God would forgive. Are people going to come and ask you to forgive them? Probably not. Because they really don't care. Because if they cared, they'd come ask you. They'd come say, Roger, I did this, and I apologize for it. I didn't really mean to. Even though they may have meant to, it kind of makes it feel a little bit better. But they've made the effort to come apologize. Roger's responsibility is to say, I forgive you. Because if he continues to let that live in him, all he does is live it over and over and over again. Until he comes to the point where he's ready to release it. And so that's that crack in the door that Satan can come into. That's that dignity that he takes away from us. When we allow that stuff to bother us, we allow that stuff to get a hold of us. The enemy wants to kill us. The enemy wants to steal our joy. The enemy wants to steal our patience. The enemy wants to steal our money. He wants to steal our children. He wants to steal everything that God has given to us. That's a given. And so what we have to do is resist that and realize that God does care. And when he does care, then we understand that we can go to him and we can ask for forgiveness But we have to have also forgiven someone else before he forgives us. I was talking recently with someone that's had some family issues. And that one of the people was saying, I just can't forget. And I've said this before. I said, you don't want to forget. I said, what do you mean? I said, you want to be aware that it could happen again. Forgiving is different than forgetting. Forgetting has nothing to do with the relationship. Forgiving has everything to do with the relationship. Forgiving has everything to do with everything that we do. And so if the enemy can destroy us that way, then he will. And so there's some steps that we can take toward freedom and realize first is that we're born to be free. As I said this morning, that picture of Breland with a big smile on his face. Next year, I'm going to talk him into joining the Cardinals. But he had a smile on his face that wouldn't stop. Okay, Todd. Breland could probably help the Reds. Stop and think about it. You know, but when we look at that, God has created us to be happy. He's created us to have joy. He's created us to have peace. And when stuff comes into our lives that interfere with what he has given to us and what he has made us to be, then it separates us from God. And the closer we can walk with God, the further away we can get away from Satan. So the question becomes, are we willing to go through whatever it takes to be free? Are we willing to go through whatever? Doesn't make any difference what it is, or do I prefer to stay in the muck? Do I prefer to live in unforgiveness? And I know it's hard. But that becomes the question before the question. Am I, you know, if God forgives, am I willing to mirror Jesus and forgive also? The difference is that we have to ask God. The difference is they don't have to ask us. We just need to forgive people that have harmed us and have done us ill will. Paul told Timothy, he said, to be calm, cool, and collected, and to keep on performing your duties of ministry. That's not just duties up here in ministry. That's duties in all of our lives as we minister to other people. When we get angry, and we need to calm down. We need to cool down. We need to relax and start doing what God's called us to do. The Bible says we overcome evil with good. We overcome evil and anger by praying for those that harmed us. Is that fun? No. That's one of those challenges that he puts before us that we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to pay that whatever, or as they say, that whatever cost for freedom and for wholeness? It's not going to be easy. But the second time you do it, it's easier than the first time. The third time you do it, it's easier than the second time. And when you get up to 70 times 7, hopefully it's not even to where it bothers you anymore. You've forgiven someone before they've ever harmed you. Because we realize they can't steal my joy. And that's what happens. And when they steal our joy, they've stolen everything. So the first thing we have to do is make the decision and stick with it. I like the second part of that question. The first part of it is really involved when you stop and think about it. But when you look at that question, does God forgive? And then the second part of it is hard to forgive. And when we look at it with our soul, our mind, it is hard. But there's a verse in Philippians. It's Philippians 4:13. This is the Amplified Version. I love the Amplified Version. It just says it so well. It explains it for people like me. He says, I can do all things. All things are that which he has called me to do. Through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Does God forgive those who harm us? Yes and no. No if they don't ask. Yes if they do. It's really that simple. But the next question is, can I forgive them? And God will do anything that we ask him to do. Doesn't make any difference, you know, when what it might be within his will for our lives. But he will forgive. But will he forgive me if I can't forgive those? I like that the song that we sang today. Daddy's love is really without end. And that's the way God's love is for us. And when we forgive, it gives him an opportunity to love us so much more. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have given to us the ability to be angry and sin not, because that helps us to understand what's right and wrong. We are thankful, Father, that when we do get angry, you have given us a way out. And that's to come to you and say, Father, forgive me as I go to that one that angered me and say, I forgive you. It's a simple matter of will over matter. Father, help us to do the whatever it takes to strive to be in your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.